much, so much to praise you for, Lord. So much to thank you for. All praise is due, Lord. Father God, as I look before me, Lord, you built this body. Father God, you had this in your mind from before the foundation. Before you spoke a single word, Lord. It just humbles me, Lord, to be with the beloved. Father God, touch all those that need a touch. The unspoken prayer request, Lord, and the spoken that's already been spoken, Lord. And we praise you in advance, Lord, for the upcoming scheduled things that you already have prepared and set before us, Lord, this body, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord, we want. Father God, we love you beyond, and we are awaiting your appearing. Father God, according to your word, Lord, I see the word made flesh again. For this day, Lord, and you've brought us, you've assembled this great army together, Lord, according to your word. You've built our faith according to your word, Lord. You've given us word in due season, Lord, according to your word. And according to your word, Lord, we stand here confident more than ever before, ready to overcome anything that comes our way, Lord. Father God, we're more than equipped. You've given us everything we need, and we just thank you, Lord. Father God, you have your way in the front part of this service, Lord. And for the preaching as well, Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Majesty, key of G. Let's worship him. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem praise. Sing that again. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem reign. So exalt, so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus, magnify, glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, yes,
us worship His majesty. Oh, from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, just worship His majesty. Far from His own, unto His own, His anthem reign.
One more time, majesty.
Majesty, yes, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem reigns.
Amen. You may be seated. It is good to be in the house tonight. Amen. Wednesday night. Oh, yes. I'm pushing through, but first order of business in here, lead it. I want to hear from Brother John, and then I want to hear from Sister Dawn, and then you'll be next.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be back.
Amen. Amen.
Good to be back. You know, when we were gone, Dwayne sent me a text, and he said that we were one of the few that could understand that you can be in this island paradise. And yet be so homesick. So homesick. Amen. So this word, you know, I really, really appreciated this trip. You know, I've gone on a lot of trips, and I've seen beauty. And there's beauty. But there was something about these people. There was something spiritual about these people. And their love for the land. And you know, there's all kinds of tourist traps. But every once in a while, we would be blessed to meet someone that lived there, someone that was local, someone who was raised there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the trips we went on, they would, their royalty, and they would take their royalty and they would burn the flesh off their bodies, but they would take their bones, and they would hide those bones because they believed there was power in those bones. And so their top servant, would take and bury those bones somewhere, and then that top servant would lower himself down into a valley, bury that person, and then they would cut the rope and fall to their death. And I was thinking about the Bible, and I was thinking, you know, these people, they don't know, but God is so real. Yes. You know, this real. Word of God, they may not have it right. You right. know, they may not know the truth, right. but their love is that love that God has for the earth.
Yeah. Right.
It's that respect, right. the respect for the elder, the respect for their beliefs and their customs. I just praise God.
Amen.
We were ambassadors.
Amen.
We met a lot of people.
Amen.
And we carried the word forth. But, you know, we watched the service. And there's just something about it when you see your people. I want it to be home. I want it to be here where the word is.
Yes.
Right. This
yes.
word is.
Yes.
It's everything. Yeah. You know, you can go all over. You can do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But one man there told me, he talked and he, you know, everybody's got their thing. And he told me, he said, John, find your way. And I thought, if you only knew. If you only knew that you talked to God in flesh. Mm. And God in flesh saw that thing.
Bye, bye.
Right, right.
They didn't know. But I just praise God. I'm so glad to be home.
Amen.
I'm so glad to be, you know, where my homeland
yes.
is.
Yes.
That's right.
Where my home is.
Amen. Yes.
Where, you know, where I feel God.
Yes.
And the God I know is the true God.
Amen.
You know, I praise him for that.
Amen.
But those people, I believe they're foolish virgins.
Oh, yeah.
In my heart of hearts, I know I met a lot of foolish virgins, but I just believe that.
Amen, amen.
This wonderful woman went with me. We celebrated. We had so much enjoyment. This is to us.
Amen.
Sister Alice's song, Emelea Ika Aholae, came to me, and I thought, yes. Alice, we're representing you
we
here.
Did.
Brother Isaiah, we're representing
representing.
You here. And you know, I'm just thankful that God let us represent in that way. I mean, that's a blessing to be able to go someplace like that. My husband was good to me. I thank God for him in so many ways.
Amen.
We went to celebrate his 70th birthday and our 40th wedding anniversary. Yeah. We're a little early on the 40th, but we've had a lot of health issues. And we said, we're just going to jump on it.
Amen.
But I thank God for good health. I was able to hike.
That's right.
I went to the front desk the first time I had oxygen on my, you know, where I needed oxygen when I went to the airport. I said, can you take that
take
off?
Take that off.
I had it for 4 years, and I don't have it anymore.
Amen.
But she was such a doll, and she said, well, God bless you. That's wonderful. So, I mean, we just met a lot of people,
Amen.
But there's no place like
no
here.
Place
Brother Jeremiah, we're hungry.
Put the pressure on.
Amen, amen.
And we have no
it's
doubt
to have
we'll be fed.
Good to have our brothers and sisters home. Go ahead, Sister Joy.
Praise God, buddy. I just want to, you know, I just want to get up. I went to the doctor last week, and he put me in this blood pressure medicine for like a week, and because my blood pressure is really like high. And then so today he told me to go back to him to see how I did, you know. So every morning I'm so stressful. Every morning, like all around me, it's just so stressful, and knowing that God is coming home from work, you know, everything is so stressful. I don't know how to relax and everything like that. But I said, Lord, you know, my life is in your hands. So I said, I'm not really worried about that. And you know, when you worry little things, you know, Satan will write on that thing. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. I said, Satan, you know, I'm so tired of you. I said, you know, even you cannot really touch me unless God allows it. Do you know that?
Amen.
I said, do you know? I said, I am not worried about my flesh, because knowing that I have another body waiting, you know?
Amen.
So I said, anytime if God is ready for me, I'm ready, you know? So today I went to the doctor and I prayed. And then so I got to sit down this seat for like 15 minutes. I said, Lord, I cannot come down. And I said, I'm so worried that, you know, I don't want him to give me like another double dose of my medicine, you know. So I just sit there in like 15 minutes. So then when the time that he called me and took my blood pressure, like, went so down. I said, thank
you.
I said,
God.
Lord, praise God, amen. I said, Lord, I'm going to give you praise. I said, promise, I'm going to give you praise.
Amen.
So it went down. And so I'm happy with the stuff, you know. But also this month of October, we also have, Mike and I, we also have a 30th wedding anniversary.
Praise
and
God.
I'm so
Amen.
Thankful for him, you know, like, you know, for keeping me here safe, you know, like, give me a roof on the top of my head, you know, that when I got here, I never get hungry, ever, you know, so he's
Amen.
A good provider, you know, so he loves me beyond, and I'm so thankful, you know, for that thing, so praise God.
Amen.
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 Amen. How's it going, everybody? Good
Amen.
To see everybody. So I just wanted to come up here and give praise to God, give all the glory to God. Just recently, and not even recently, I mean, it's been an ongoing slower process for me, but I've been lately able to let go a lot more. And as I've done that, I've realized that my prayers come to manifestation when I just
let go,
back up.
Amen.
And it's crazy because it's like, you know, I'm not, I don't know, you know, this scripture or that scripture or where to even turn sometimes, you know, in a time of need. But when I've been praying, for example, I prayed for a friend of mine who was stuck in Oklahoma, moved down there, got himself into a kind of a crappy situation. But I know his heart's good. And he said, you know, and he's a believer, you know, foolish version, as we would say. But I prayed on his safe return and me being able to assist him. He does construction like me and Brother Isaiah. And it just so happened that we ended up getting him up here into a treatment center, did a short 30-day treatment thing to get clean off of what he was on. And he got put into a halfway, or like a sober living program, I bet. And so they don't have a choice. And my buddy doesn't have a car. He doesn't have any of his tools. He doesn't have really anything. He's left everything in Oklahoma, came back up here to, you know, his kids are up here and all that. So long story short, they end up putting him in the sober living house within 3 minutes of walking distance of our job site. So not only did he come up here, was able to see his kids again, get clean, but now he's got, you know, open and available work that he can even walk to. You know, while me and Brother Isaiah are on other jobs, he's been able to get to this job site. He's been able to, you know, complete things, and that's just going to put him and the biggest Amen. Thing that's a blessing is that he realizes that it's God. It's not Amen. Me. It's not me doing that. And then just for another example, just out of the blue the other day, I was going to Kroger, walking in the front doors. A little 7-8-year-old girl, I didn't say anything, didn't do anything special. She looked at me and stared at me, and she said, "God bless you," and kept walking. Oh. And I'm like, praise Jesus. You know, just praise Jesus. That's all Amen. I have to say.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Tommy. Go ahead, Brother Danny.
It's good to be here. You know, on Sunday, the services were awesome. But one thing Brother Moore said, he said it's an honor to serve God. And I really, it's an honor to serve God. It's an honor to serve God with you all. I was sitting here thinking tonight, I was thinking about while they were on that boat when that door was shut. I feel like that's where we're at. You know, no matter how many days we have to sit here, we get the word. We know this world is going to rock, but we have complete peace. And, you know, like, Amen. We're so close to the end of this. My mind's made up. You know, I'm predestined. I'm going all the way. I don't have any doubt on that. I can defeat Satan with that. I want to black his eye. I am going all the way with this church, whether no matter what happens. And I want to sing just a little bit, and you all help me out. So Amen. I'm going to sing "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow," because that's my desire. Wherever he leads me, I just want to go with it.
Amen.
Where if Brother Moore turns right, let's turn right. I just want to get out of here. So, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me,
have one thing to say. I don't have a long testimony, but I just want to say, count it all joy.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about some things
Amen.
This morning. You know, a lot was said Sunday. A lot more was said Sunday night. You know, and it's just beautiful. I wrote some things down, and I thought, well, rather than just up here and kind of fumble through what I can remember, Amen. I'll just read it off. Temporal thoughts are negotiable.
Yeah.
When it comes to God's temporal thoughts, ask what you will. I mean, he's given us all kinds of instruction to get through this life, whatever you have need of. Eternal thoughts are not. The perfect will of God, the permissive will of God, ask what you will. Ask what you will. You're sick, pray for healing. God will do it. You need a new job? Need to make ends better? Whatever you ask. He didn't even specify. He said, well, if you do that, it's greedy. No, ask what you will. Ask what you need.
That's right.
It's all negotiable. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man can change the temple things in my life. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. John 14:14. God has wiggle room, Brother Moore said, to change his permissive will in our lives, but not the perfect will of the Father. So we believe that. We hold to that. That won't change. We'll get the dead up, in other words.
That's right.
Each generation, each manifestation, each role of God has a scripture to fulfill.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that, because I know my scripture.
Amen.
I know what I'm going to do. I know what the perfect will of God in my life
Amen.
Is. But there's permissive things in the will.
Oh, yeah.
And there's things I desire. Yeah. There's things I want to change. Yeah. The things I say, Lord, I need this. I need that. I need this. And the only way he knows is if you ask.
That's right.
You know, and the only way you'll get it is if you ask in faith, according to his promise, according to his word, according to his parameters to give us to ask. It's pretty simple. I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
But God will never change his mind about his word.
That's right.
I always wondered why Brother Branham always said it just that way. He never changed his mind about his word.
Word.
That's right.
He will change his mind about other things. In this permissive will that we have here.
Amen.
And that's a beautiful thing to me. It opens up so much.
Oh, my.
You know, and I'm waiting to see what all is going to be preached on, because I can go this way and that far that way, but without the preaching.
Yeah.
I'm at a dead end, you know. But I'm thankful to see what I see. I'm thankful that the body sees what the body sees. That Bible study Sunday was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Amen.
Each one was catching what was going on. Each one said, each comment, each question was letting us know that really picking up what God has given.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. Because, you know, this is just a step-by-step, day-by-day walk. And, you know, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. You know, the things, evil tomorrow, or the evil today, take care of itself, you know, the things of tomorrow God has. And, you know, so that's such a rest. It's such a rest.
Yes.
It's such a rest. Because within this permissive world, I said, Lord, grant me the desires of my heart.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I want to do with my wife. That's what I want to do with my kids. You know, and if they come in the right spirit, they come according to my will, where I want them to do it.
Amen.
You know, don't come demanding. Yeah. Don't come, you know, with the wrong spirit at all. You might not get it. I probably won't get it. But still, I want them to boldly approach the throne of grace.
Yes.
Speak up. Ask me what you want.
Yeah.
You know, let's see what I can do. Yeah. And God's the same thing.
Amen.
Ask him. Ask him. He'll grant you the desires of your heart. And I'm thankful for that, because this changes the way I pray.
Oh, my.
Knowing that God has a permissive will, and that the role of God is that permissive will, and the role of God is that wiggle room where he can move. I mean, in the Old Testament, like you're talking about, just Hezekiah, and, you know, he was going to die. God said, get your things together, you're going home. And he said, I'm not ready. And the Lord gave me 15 more years. And all within the permissive will.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thankful, because now I can even more so boldly approach the throne of grace.
Yes.
I know how to write and divide it a little bit more. You know, I know that I'll get the debt up. Yes. I don't care what I do. Right. I don't care what I don't do. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feel like.
Eternal.
I'll get the debt up.
Amen.
You know, this bride will get the debt up. She's ordained to do it just as much as Jesus was ordained to go to Calvary.
Yes.
He said, it's written of me.
It's written.
Just check the scripture. I'll do these things. He told John, you know, search the scripture. You know, am I doing what I said? What the Bible says I'll do? And the same thing today. You know, I've searched the scripture. We have searched the scripture, and I know what we'll do in this day. We will get the dead up, and we'll live day to day. We'll have an overcoming life.
Amen.
Every day we'll overcome by His Word. And that's in everything. And I'm so thankful for that. Because I mean, fear is out of the question for me.
Right.
I mean, even death.
Amen.
If the Lord takes me home,
amen.
It's all right. I don't want to, nope. In a sense. Yeah. I don't know what theophany holds.
Yeah, right.
That seems kind of scary. I'd rather just step over in that, you know, that wedding supper. I'd rather skip over in that new earth and everything. But, you know, I leave that in His hands.
That's right.
And I trust Him every day of my life. I you know, like I've said before, Satan does not bother me at all. Because in order for Satan to have any kind of reign in me, I have to step away from the Word.
That's right.
I have to disbelieve the Word. And I won't do that. I've got a promise. I've seen it, and that's why knowing the Scripture is so important.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know what your promises are.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know who you are.
Yeah.
And if you don't, Satan will whip you all over the place. But
that's right.
I know I'm a son of God, and that's my confession. And how do I know I'm a son of God? It's because of faith, because I believe it.
Yeah.
And Satan will never get me off of that. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful to be a part of this body. I'm thankful to be among the living. You know, not the one that's dead while she lives, you know. I'm thankful to be among the living.
Amen.
That absolutely are walking with God. And for being able to rightly divide this truth, how perfect it is, and how, you know, I don't even have to worry.
Amen.
God will lead me. You know, where He leads me, I will follow. He will lead me.
Oh, yeah.
He'll lead me every step of the way. And I'm so very thankful for that. It gives me such a rest,
yes.
Such a peace, such a boldness.
Amen.
You know, And I praise Him for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible says, you know, we'll narrowly look upon Him.
Oh, yeah.
And that day is now. We're doing that now. We're so occupied by what God's been putting forth. It's
right.
Just, I don't got room for nothing else. So one thing I wanted to share is, Sunday evening when we stopped and prayed, you know, I slid my prayer in there.
Amen.
My dad came home today, and they were able to get 50 ounces of fluid out of his lungs, and then they put two stents in his heart. So now he can breathe really well. He's going home, and they just got to monitor him. He's just got to continue to keep doing the things he's been doing, and we're carrying on. So praise God for that. Watch out for the announcements. So November 17th, we're having a Thanksgiving service, so after service is going to be food in the back, and I think we're going to have a list, you know, what everybody's going to be bringing in the back, I'm sure of it, so. No? Oh, text Elise. What you're bringing, so.
And we provide the meat.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Let's sing A Sanctuary, and then we'll get them up, key of G. Oh. Time change this weekend, so we're going to roll the clocks back, so you'll get an extra hour of sleep.
Did I see James is preaching somewhere?
Oh, and Little Bethlehem, I think James is preaching. November 10th. All right. Just stay tuned for more announcements as we approach those days. Sanctuary. T.A.G.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, oh, with thanksgiving, I'll be a strength, who gives me strength? Oh,
Back in the house of the Lord. See everybody in fellowship. We say all the time, but no other place I'd rather be. It's an exciting hour, exciting what we understand, to see where we're standing, to be able to look all the way back and know what's coming, know what we're doing right now. That's a good place to be. When you have a revelation or faith and know the end from the beginning, and that's what can bring you peace and bring you rest when everybody else doesn't have it. So we're thankful to be here tonight. Brother Moore and Brother Schuyler, in your prayers, they'll be traveling back to us soon. Glad that Brother John and Sister Don made a home safe to us. Glad they had a good time. And you know, while you're always say, you know, while you're enjoying things, you're doing the work of the Lord. You're really doing the work of the Lord everywhere you go.
Amen.
Because everywhere we go, we take that life that we are. God's own life. That's who we are. And as they said, we're ambassadors. And so it is a chance. We're foolish virgins to have a chance to talk to you, meet you, treat you right. The various ways that they do that. And it gets us excited. You know, there's something about having a attitude of, you know, a little bit like God, not really willing any man should perish. You know, and some are going to. But I get excited when I recognize people that will be right there in heaven with me. Heaven and earth will unite. Of course, heaven will be on earth when it's all said and done like that. But they'll be living eternally just with you and I. And I know I didn't do anything, what I call special to earn it. You know, Jesus paid it all. Now, on the other side of the coin, we got our part to play, but Jesus paid it all. Our part to play is not earning our salvation. Our part to play is not making ourselves worthy. And Jesus paid it all. So it's freely given, freely, you know, freely receive, freely give. So it's easy for me to see somebody step into that scripture, foolish version, and manifest that. It gets me excited. And we've been having good sermons and good preaching and good trips and good fellowship across the board. And had a good time in South Carolina. I've had a good time here. And, you know, I think that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, we love each other. We really do. And as people have testified here lately, you know, this is more my real family than my real family. And we rightly divide that. We love our natural family too. But Jesus asked them one time, who is your brother? Who is your sister? It's he that does the will of the Father that sent me. And so that's how I feel tonight too. You are my brother. You are my sister. You are somebody I depend on. As the song says, I need you, you need me, I need you to survive.
Yes,
I need you to do your part,
yes.
And I got to do my part.
Amen.
And we're going to do it.
We are.
I'm not worried about it.
Amen.
It's going to get done.
Yes.
And but Jesus did say, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so you've got to do your part. So if you have your Bibles with you, I got a couple places I want to read here, if I may. And then we'll get going. And as we always do, we'll let God have his way. Because we know without him, we come to hear him. We come to hear what he's got to say to us. So we're going to start with in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. And you know, bear with me, we got a little bit of reading here to do. But I want to do it to lay some background. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace. Now, this is not even my purpose, my message tonight, but as I was studying this, when I say these next things, just listen how he said this. This will connect to what we've been preaching. And peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that almost sounded like he separated them. That almost made it sound like there was two. But you know, in one sense, what Paul was doing there, thank you, Lord, for the attribute of Father. Thank you for the attribute of Jesus Christ. Paul knew they were still one. It was thanking God the whole time. But he was just expressing something there to us, you know. Because listen, he goes on, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, you know, he's separating those attributes out. He was kind of showing the different roles those attributes played for us there a little bit. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. I'm going to turn over to the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, right quick. If you can't get there fast enough, that's okay. I'm going to jump down to verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, so there's the purpose again, according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now I want to read one thing here. This is from Brother Branham in Leadership. Each one of us has to make a choice, and it is confronted to us, but we're all confronted with this one thing. What are we going to do about eternal life? Are we going to live hereafter or not? Then we have to come to Jesus to get that. The opportunity of choosing, that's one thing God gave us. He don't force nothing on us. He just lets us make our own choice. So you have not to be forced, but just to make your own choice. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. My title tonight is the purpose of God manifested.
Amen.
Now, I want to read one more thing, and I told you it'd be a little reading, and I promise I'm going to preach. This is Brother Branham in the Church Age book. He just got done reading Ephesians like I read. He just got done reading Romans like I read, and he says, the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. He said the heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing
and that purpose was in himself, and being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. Watch carefully now and get this, Brother Branham says, and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God. God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him, so he was only at that time potentially God. And he was known only as eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in those thoughts. So you can see, I'm trying to tie all this together so we can do some things. God had a purpose. God had something about him that he wanted to do. Now, recently, what we've been getting preached to is we've been explained to you a little bit more thoroughly and have a deeper understanding of what Elohim is, what that eternal spirit is. You know, Elohim is God. Elohim is Jesus. Elohim is us. Elohim is the pillar of fire. Elohim was Melchizedek. Elohim was the rock in the wilderness. Elohim was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Amen. One God. There's not many gods. There's only one God. But what we understand is God had a purpose and things he wanted to accomplish. Yes. Elohim had a purpose and things he wanted to accomplish. And in order to get to that point, in order to accomplish that feat, he had to bring forth all these attributes, or we would have never made it to where we are today.
Amen.
Now let's talk about Elohim a little bit, because I think we can't go over these things enough when things are new to us. Elohim is self-existing one. We've been over that before. No beginning, no ending. Brother Moore was going to read Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 3. It says, who's this Melchizedek? Without mother, without father, without beginning of days, without end of life. Now that was talking about Melchizedek, but you know, that's also talking about Elohim.
Right.
Because Melchizedek had a beginning, a manifestation.
That's right.
But Melchizedek was part of Elohim.
Right.
And I can say the same thing about you. We've said this before. We have no beginning. We have no end.
Right.
We were always part, as Brother Bram said, dwelling in his thoughts. Before he was even God, we were right there with him.
Amen.
No beginning of days, no end of life.
That's right.
Yet we had a beginning of manifestation.
Amen.
And you know, Brother Moore was saying that on one side of the coin, he said God had a time when he started. Well, sure he did, because he wasn't God until there was something there to worship him.
Right.
On the other side of the coin, God never started. He was always part of Elohim.
Yeah.
Amen. But Elohim was there existing alone. And here's some points I want to make.
Amen.
He didn't want to dwell alone.
Right.
He wanted a bride. Now, I know, because when we talk about the purpose of God, Brother Branham said many things many different ways. One place he said God created man for fellowship. We'll get to that, Lord willing. Other place he talked about the threefold purpose of God. God in Christ, Christ in the bride, Garden of Eden condition.
Right.
But it all rounds around one thing. God wanted to have fellowship with people. He didn't want to dwell alone. He didn't want to just be up there self-existing.
Right.
He wanted something that he could fellowship and look like right back at him. And what's so great about this, and why I read that, you're not forced to do anything, God didn't want us to be robots.
Amen.
He actually is such a great God, he could create a being in such a way that he could put that being on free moral agency.
Right.
He didn't program you to love him. He didn't make you love him. He didn't force you to love him. You loved him because you loved him, and he saw you loved him. And that's what God wanted.
Amen.
And God, with his eternal thoughts and with his foreknowledge, saw you before the foundation of the world, saw what you would do with it. And as Brother Moore has always explained, gave you a predestinated seed. But that happened by his foreknowledge, because he actually saw you want to serve him, want to love him, want to be and listen to him. Whatever, you know, you can word it so many different ways. Oh, that gets me kind of excited. But think about how great God has to be. God sees the end from the beginning. His foreknowledge allows him to see how many times a flea would bat its eyes, let alone what he saw you do. But on the other side of the coin, he didn't force you to do any of it. Well, he created something so that it would have potential. But then he let that potential just start happening.
Yeah, that's right.
And sure, he helped along the way. He made certain things were available for us. We've preached that before. But God saw the end from the beginning, and his purpose was to get that bride so that he could have fellowship with her.
Amen.
God's thoughts are real, Brother Bram said. I got to slow down a little bit here because I want to start separating some things. That quote I just read, if you read on down further, Brother Bram says, are God's thoughts eternal? He says, sure they are. He said, God's thoughts are real. He said, they're not like an architect that has a blueprint and is going to bring something to pass. His thoughts are so real, it's like they've already happened.
Right. Amen.
Now, what we've learned here recently, that's Elohim.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Elohim, as far as Elohim is concerned, you're glorified tonight.
Amen.
As far as Elohim is concerned, you're perfect, and you don't even need anything in one sense tonight.
Right.
He sees the end from the beginning. His thoughts are real. He sees you as a perfect bride. He says, all I foreknow, I predestinate, and all I predestinate, I called, and all I called, I justified, and all I justified, I glorified. That's how Elohim already sees you.
Amen.
That's how real it is. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Elohim already saw it like that. He couldn't change his mind. It was the perfect will and mind of God. It's everything he saw.
Amen.
But there's something about it happened to be manifested.
Right.
Elohim started saying, I got to work myself down. In order to accomplish this, I got to start coming down. Because you realize, to want a bride, he didn't want a bride just floating in a cloud somewhere. He actually wanted a bride in flesh.
Yes.
He had to work himself down. So what was his first thing? You know, that brother Moore's been talking, God. He became God. He made something to worship him. But here's what's so great about Elohim, because he's such a perfect God. And it ain't two gods. Remember, God and Elohim are the same. But what we're going to start talking about now is the attributes of Elohim.
Amen.
Elohim had different attributes that he could express that would enable him to bring about that purpose of God.
Amen.
He became God and was able to create things. He became God, and let's list some things. He's a provider. I'm the Lord thy God that provides all your needs. He provides God, and he's a judge. God had things that he manifested that Elohim wanted to be.
Right.
But what's become so real for me is if Elohim didn't step into that attribute, we wouldn't be able to be here tonight. There wouldn't have been a cushion enough to even allow the plan of God to happen the way it's going to happen. Think about what Brother Moore said Sunday, and I'm not trying to make this deep, I'm trying to make this simple. God was able to have temporal thoughts and eternal thoughts. Elohim just had eternal thoughts. And it's just because it's just the attribute. The attribute of God was able to have, attribute of Elohim was able to have temporal and eternal thoughts. If we could never have temporal thoughts, the fall in the garden would have never happened.
Amen.
If the fall in the garden would have never happened, God would have never been a savior. He would have never been a healer. He would have never been a provider in the way he wanted to be. He would not have been so many things he wanted to be. The fall in the garden had to happen in order for God to be able to be all he wanted to be.
Amen.
I hope you're trying to get my point. If God did not, if Elohim, who's perfect, who has nothing but perfect thoughts, didn't allow himself to step into an attribute of God, we would not have been able to be here today. Living still in a permissive will. Because we don't have our bodies changed yet. We're still sex-born creatures. We still need God. But because Elohim had eternal thoughts, but as he stepped in that attribute, he was able to think temporal thoughts and eternal thoughts, Brother Duskin. And you know who created the devil? God. The devil was created by God. All things were made by him. Anything that's around does not exist without God. Think about that. That God made the devil. And the devil's not eternal. And if the devil had never been created, the serpent wouldn't have had anybody. The devil wouldn't have used the serpent. My point I'm trying to make tonight, more than anything, is these attributes, these manifestations that Elohim became, enabled him to bring about the whole purpose of God. If he didn't step down and become a cushion and become a creator and allow himself to have temporal thoughts, we wouldn't be here tonight doing the things that we're doing.
Amen.
But before the foundation of the world, God, Elohim saw this unfold, and this is exactly what he wanted. And he had to start putting that thing in motion. In order for it to work, he had to keep stepping down to different attributes to even bring all these things to pass.
Amen.
Elohim has perfect thoughts. Elohim sees you perfect. Elohim sees you already, you're making it to heaven. Elohim's already seen you endure to the end. And when he stepped into the attributes of God, he says, God's saying, I see all this potential. I know who's predestinated. I see all the potential, but I'm going to watch it happen. I'm going to help them. I'm going to help them get to the spots they need to be. But it's got to manifest. Amen. What was in Elohim's mind has got to manifest. Amen. And Elohim, God, made it such a way that that attribute of God could do that. Amen. The attribute of God could say, I got to see it. The attribute of God, because Elohim, you got to realize he can hold anything back from any attribute he wants to.
Right.
What did Jesus say? Jesus, eternal. Jesus was the Son of Man. Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus was the first fold of the Son of Man. He was the first fold of the purpose of God. But Jesus himself had to say, when they asked him, when's that time coming? I don't know. Jesus himself said, that I can do nothing until the Father first shows me. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. Jesus learned. But now I just want to make this real to you. Yet let's talk about it. All that was in God was poured into Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus said, I can't do anything until the Father first showed me. So how does this work? How it works is Elohim is able to become any attribute he wants and give that attribute everything it needs to know to fulfill its job, fulfill its role. And a matter of fact, Elohim wanted to be in that role. That was his purpose. That's what he wanted to be. He wanted to be a son named Jesus. He wanted Jesus to make a choice. He didn't want robots.
Amen.
A body that has prepared for me. He wanted to be in flesh. He wanted to work himself down. Amen. He wanted fellowship. He wanted to get to that bride that I read you about. And the only way to get there was to become Jesus Christ and pay the price so that he could redeem us back to our rightful owner.
Amen.
He couldn't die as a spirit.
That's right.
I want to slow down sometimes. That's the point I'm trying to make. God steps in all these attributes because it's God wanting to be certain things, wanting to manifest certain things, wanting to do certain things. And it's his way of bringing his purpose to pass.
Amen.
And think about it. He wanted to be a Savior. And in order to be a Savior, that lamb had to be slain. Just as a spirit can't die. A spirit can't be killed. A spirit's not slain. He actually had to put on flesh to be able to manifest that at that.
Amen.
The point being is these attributes, these step-downs, these manifestations of God is God's way of becoming what he wanted to be.
Amen.
His way of getting to fellowship with mankind. His way of being a Savior. His way of being a healer. All these things were God's way of getting what was in his mind from the very foundation of the world to fulfill his purpose.
Amen.
Brother Moore said it so simple to us tonight, but was amazing to me when he first said it. God was a cushion. The fact that God could have a permissive will was a cushion. The fact that God could change his mind about some things. And I know that sounds awkward to you. It's just the ability to have a permissive will, if that makes it lighter on you. Just the ability to have a permissive will. And it was able to cushion. You realize God could look down here and say, those human beings are not going to be perfect. Elohim could look down here and say, those human beings aren't going to be perfect. They're going to run from me. They're going to do the opposite of what I ask them to do. They're going to have flesh problems. And it's not that he sees in the way he's holding against you, but he's like, I got to make a way back. I got to make a cushion. Because that's who I want. That's who wants me. And so I got to become these things to get to that point. I need cushions in the way. I need a Savior in the way. I need helps along the way. I need all these things because I'm going to get to my purpose. And if Elohim hadn't stepped down into God and enabled himself to become a cushion, we'd never be here tonight.
Amen.
He'd had to condemn the whole thing. Now let me say something the other way. God could have said, I'm going to start over. Brother Ram said that. He could have saw Adam and Eve fell. He could have started over. But then Brother Branham come right back around, but he didn't want to. Because he wanted to be a Savior. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a Redeemer. He wanted to be those things. He had those attributes he wanted to manifest. And in order to manifest all these attributes, he had to step down into these things. That's why, you know, Brother Branham would use the term morphe. He talked about God changing his mask. I want to bring this in here because I want it, this will help remind you it's the same God the whole time. It's Elohim the entire time. It was Elohim as God. All Elohim did was make some angels, became God. And then in that attribute, sure, he said, I'm going to make this attribute work in such a way, it's going to want to see manifestation. Because all of Elohim's true thoughts are going to come to manifestation. It's the perfect will. They're all going to come to pass, as Brother Dustin says. All of his words, all of his attributes will come to pass.
Amen.
Right? Same Elohim said, I'm about to lead them by the pillar of fire at night, then a cloud by day, so they know where they're going. That's what happened. Same God, same Elohim, just changed his house, just changed his tent. That's where it's like the actor that could play many roles, could be the same exact actor, but just changing his costume, playing a different role. That's all God's been doing. And it's all to work according to his great purpose, to bring to pass his will, his purpose, what he saw before there was a speck of stardust. He had to become these things. If God couldn't have a cushion, there'd be no permissive will. No fall in the garden. All the other things that we talk about, all the attributes of God, couldn't happen. But God, and this is what Brother Moore says, what the Bible says, what James said last week, God's bound by his own laws. He's the one that said it had to be a kinsman redeemer. He's the one that said a perfect lamb had to come to get it back. And so here's Elohim saying, I can't do this as a spirit. I can't do this as a cloud. I can't do this as a pillar of fire. I can't do this as Melchizedek. Just in case you haven't heard about Melchizedek, all Melchizedek was in the Old Testament. Same God. Brother Branham said, we no longer hear about Melchizedek because he came Jesus. It was just God in the Old Testament in the form of a theophany. That's who Melchizedek was. But don't get confused. Melchizedek isn't a fourth God or a fifth God. Melchizedek is the same God that Jesus is. It's the same God you are. But he couldn't do it as Melchizedek. He couldn't die as Melchizedek. But he could die as Jesus. And all I'm trying to show you, these attributes, the attribute of God, the attribute of a son, the attribute of a bride, the attribute of a healer, all these things are the way that is bringing to pass everything God wanted to be and God wanted to have. Think about what I started with tonight. God wanted a bride. God wanted fellowship. He was going to have that one way or the other, Brother Isaiah. All he had to do is start putting things into motion. Now he watched. He's like, it's potential, and he's watching it all come to pass. But Elohim's sitting back and said, I already seen it happen. I already know who's enduring to the end. I already know whose name's been transferred. I already know this. I know the end from the beginning.
Right.
And in the form of God, God knows who's who and those things. But God, in that form, that attribute, needs to see the manifestation.
Right.
Wants to see it happen, Brother Dwayne. He wanted to see Jesus walk up and say, not my will, but thine be done.
That's right.
He wanted to see you actually come to church and hear the Word of God.
Right.
And amen the Word of God.
Amen.
And accept the Word of God.
Yes.
He wanted you to want Him.
Yes.
He wanted you to choose Him.
Right.
We've read the quote before, God chose Moses because Moses chose God.
Yes.
He wanted somebody that wasn't a robot that was actually going to walk into church and serve God and live for God and manifest God.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You got to become a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your life, my life might be two different things, but I know one thing. If you're a child of God, you're going to be a loved prisoner to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You will do things that you wouldn't have done otherwise because your nature's changed.
Yes.
God wanted somebody to do that, Brother Deskin.
Yes.
He wanted a bride that loved him back. That said, not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
He wanted a Jesus that said, not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
That was how he was going to manifest himself. That was how he was going to show himself. That was how he was going to have fellowship between Jesus and a bride, because he didn't want to dwell alone.
Come on.
And in order to get to this point, he had to become God. He had to become Jesus. He had to be a pillar of fire. He had to be a healer. He had to be a provider. He had to be all these things, or we wouldn't be where we are tonight. But God is so great, Elohim so great, he says, I know how to make this happen. I got this whole thing in my hands. And what's so amazing to me, you got to work three more agencies in there. He saw it happen, knew it was going to happen, and then had to watch it happen. Because he wasn't making robots. But you know what he did do? He sent helps. He sent attributes. He sent a five-fold ministry. He sent foolish version. He sent somebody to preach to you to help you along your way. He sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. He sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for you. He by his stripes were healed. God did all these things to help us along the way. All the while he's helping us, he's able to manifest all the things he wanted to be. He's a helper. He wanted to be a helper. He wanted to be a provider. He wanted to be a healer. And he wouldn't have been able to do any of these things if he didn't step from Elohim to become God, to become Jesus, to become a bride. If he didn't step from Elohim to be all come all the way down to the bride, he would have never been able to have fellowship like he wanted to have. In order to have fellowship, there's more than one. In order to have fellowship, it ain't just one person talking to themselves. It's at least two in the same ship. And God wanted fellowship, and he says, I'm going to get there. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to become a creator. I am a creator. I'm going to manifest that attribute. I'm going to create this whole earth. And I'm going to set it up in such a way, it'll take care of itself.
Amen.
Now, I'm perfect as Elohim. I only have eternal thoughts. I don't have temporal thoughts. I'm perfect. I'm just. You know, I think about it as a kid when you think about God. You think about Moses on that mountain. The minute you step on it, you just die. That's what happened in the Old Testament. You stepped on the mountain where God was, and you didn't do it in the right way, you died. That kind of puts me in mind of Elohim. Serious. No emotion. Just facts. Just truth. Just, this is how it's going to be. This is what I sell. This is what's going to happen. No compromise in him at all. I've already seen it happen. This is my plan. Nobody's going to stop it. Nobody's getting in my way. But he couldn't be everything he wanted to be that way. He couldn't fellowship in just that form. He couldn't be a healer just in that step. He couldn't be a savior just that step. He says, I got to do something. I got to become a God.
Amen.
That can create. That can provide. That can have a permissive will. Because if I'm going to be a savior, I need a permissive will. And so I'm going to become God that can have a permissive will. And I'm going to make it in such a way that he can create the devil. But I'm Elohim. It ain't me doing it, so to speak. Yeah, in one sense it was him doing it, but you get my point. He says it's going to be that attribute of God doing it. Because I'm perfect. I'm spotless. I don't make evil. But as the attribute of God, I can do all these things. And I need to do all these things if I'm going to get to where I want to get to. I know I'm trying to go over it multiple times. I want to be a savior. I want to be a healer. I need a devil to do that. I need a permissive will to do that. No permissive will, you wouldn't need me providing for you too much. But I need a permissive will, so you need me. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. If you had everything right, you wouldn't even need me, Paul. But I need you to need me. I need you to have that problem. God needs to have a permissive will to be able to be all the things he wanted to be, Brother Dustin. So he could step in the attribute of God. So now we're getting started. In one sense, it had no beginning. But the only reason why it had no beginning, because it was just part of Elohim. But when he stepped down to God, it started. He said, now we're going to create. Now we're going to make what we need to make. We're going to make some eternal thoughts. We got some temporal thoughts. I'm going to create this heaven and this earth. And it's going to be situated such. Here's what's so great about it. Everything that's ever going to be in it's in it. We ain't added one thing to God's creation. We ain't taking one thing away from God's creation. He's so great, he can step back and say, this is good. In one sense, all he was saying, this has got so much potential. That's really what he was saying. Every seed was planted. Because think about it. Brother Branham said it looked like the second chapter was a repeat of the first chapter. And the first chapter was God planting all the seeds to be doing all the spoken word. Second chapter, those things started manifesting. Started talking about Adam tilling the soil. And God practiced a little bit what he wanted right there in the Garden of Eden. He fellowshiped with them every day. Walked in the cool of day with them. He got to do manifest a little bit right there. But Brother Branham said he could have been a father there, sure. But he couldn't have been a savior there. He could be a fellowshipper there, but sure, but he couldn't have been a healer there. So there had to be some things he could do. He had to be able to have a permissive will. He created a devil. He put a serpent out there. He plumbed him the way he plumbed him. All the potential there, Brother Deskins. And God sat back and he said, now I'm going to watch it unfold. Elohim transferred it was God and just said, I know that Dwayne's a predestined seed. I know Brother Deskins is predestined seed. I'm going to help him along the way. I'm going to be their guardian angel. I'm going to protect them. They ain't going to be able to get in a car accident. They're going to come to their day of manifestation.
Amen.
And God helped me all the way. But he's sitting there saying, but I got to see Brother Deskins accept this thing. I got to see him endure to the end. You know what I was reading? He said, before Jacob or Esau done good or evil, I already declared that who I love. That's Elohim. God got down there, and after Jacob said, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get the birthright. I'm going to kill a deer and make my arm hairy like my brother to get the birthright. Once Esau done that, you know what God said? Now I know. You got respect for the birthright. Up to that point, Esau looked better. But Esau just sold out for some food. Natural food. Says, you can have it, Jacob. I'm hungry. But Jacob said, I want everything. I want it despite anything I got to do for it.
Amen.
Elohim already saw it. Knew it was going to happen. Able to declare him. That transfer to God. God wasn't so dumb that he didn't know Jacob was going to be the one. But God was made in such a way. He said, but I got to see it manifest. I'm going to watch this thing. I got to see the manifestation. Because all the purpose of God, all the things God saw, all those eternal thoughts are going to come to manifestation. And you could go down through time, God doing all these things to get to where we are today. If he didn't send Jesus, we'd be in trouble. If he didn't send somebody that was going to walk up and bleed for us, we wouldn't have got back. We needed that blood of God. We needed that lamb, that one that he saw before, Elohim saw before the foundation of the world. God had to see it happen to the point where Jesus said, why have thou forsaken me? God's sitting back, I know the plan. This is the way it's got to be. This is what we saw before the foundation of the world. You got to manifest this, Jesus. You're going to do your part. Elohim just sitting back, I'm just letting it unfold. I know it's going to happen. God, in the attribute of God, he said, I got to watch it happen. But all these things is just enable Elohim to do all the things he needed to do to get to where we are today.
Amen.
Because what does the Bible say? Except the corn of wheat falling to the ground, it abideth alone. And God didn't want to abide alone. He needed something to fall on the ground. We needed Jesus to fall on the ground. And we know the bride also went into the ground. That form did too. But it had to start with Jesus. If Jesus hadn't come and died, there would have been no redemption. If Jesus hadn't come to die, there would have been no back to our original state. But Elohim was so great, he says, I'm going to go down in such a form that I can die. Brother Bram said it. Brother Children said, God became us. So we could become him. He loved us so much. Oh, I'm getting around to that fellowship part. We're going to get to there in a little bit. He wanted fellowship. He wanted somebody he could talk to, shake hands with, walk with. Think about it. That was his purpose. It's part of that threefold purpose. It was part of that soul purpose. I read Brother Bram said, God wanted fellowship. He wanted a bride. He wanted somebody that wanted him, somebody that believed his word, that wasn't like the first thief and walked away from it. He wants somebody that was going to amen every word of God. And he had to do a lot of things to get there. And that's where all these attributes come in. And each one of those attributes had different abilities and different manifestations and different scriptures that they were to fulfill. But everyone did. Just as God, Elohim, saw him do. It allowed Elohim to do things. He was no longer just a spirit dwelling alone.
Amen.
He had a creation now.
Right.
And the attributes that were in him and the people he wanted to fellowship was part of that creation.
Yeah.
And he created a cushion because, you know, we were saying the other day, we were fellowshiping a little bit. God was a cushion. But think about how much of a cushion was Jesus.
Come on.
Jesus is the one that hung on the Calvary and said, Father, forgive them. He said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they did. He is a cushion between us and God.
Yeah.
Father, they stood for me in that hour. I stand for them.
Right.
He was a mediator between God and man.
Yeah.
sat there for seven ages long on the mercy seat,
amen,
winking at their ignorance.
Right.
Because otherwise it would have been judged.
Right.
Before his time, he says, wait a minute, it's perfect now. It's complete now. I covered it all now. I fully redeemed this thing. I winked at their ignorance. Jesus was a cushion. And we thank God for it. We thank God he stepped in a form he could die. That he made it, you know, I want to give Jesus some credit. Jesus made a choice, people. Jesus made a choice. Sat there. The worst way you could die. And knew what was coming. Going to go through some suffering. Was going to get whipped. Slashed. The Bible says, by your stripes were healed. He knew that. He knew the Bible. He knew he had to have some stripes. He knew it wasn't going to be fun. That's why he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But he thought of you and me. He thought of the joy that was set before him.
Yeah.
He thought of the bride he wanted to fellowship with.
Yeah.
He thought about that purpose of God. He said, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
Thank God Jesus made the choice that he made.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm working down. There's so many places I could give you, but I'm going to keep working down. He said, now that I've done this, and my spirit can come back on the believer, now it's time to start making my bride. And you know, God was different attributes down through that. He was sent a spirit of a lion, a spirit of an ox, a spirit of a man, now a spirit of an eagle. He was in the midst of the church ages, one like the Son of Man. He was the Holy Spirit in every age. He was everything you needed to be to help that along the way. But do you realize in each one of those ages were people that were in Elohim's mind before the foundation of the world that Elohim saw do their job and their manifestation, knew they would, foreknew them, predestinated them, justified them, glorified them. That was Elohim's mind. And God knew who those predestinated would see and helped them along the way.
Right.
But God sat back and watched the whole thing manifest. And in every age, there were real believers.
Yeah.
They said, I'll do it. I believe it. I'm a believer. I have faith. And then some of them didn't even know the whole big picture like we do.
Right.
But they, each and every age, there were believers saying, amen, amen, amen. Manifesting their scripture for their day. Because all the word of God will come to pass.
Amen.
And they manifested everything they were supposed to do.
Amen.
And you know what? These cushions that we're talking about, we had to wink at ignorance. We had to.
Right.
But it was all part of that plan. Because God wanted a bride. Somebody he was going to fellowship with. Didn't want just a robot. God's helped you along the way. He's provided all your needs. He's watched over you. He's sent all helps in all kinds of manners. He's done all that to the point where they sent a predestinated seed because he saw what you were going to do. You got born again. Your nature changed. You became God. You couldn't even help but love God. That's not in a forced way. That's just who you are. That's who you really are. That's who your God's own life. But here you are, amen in the word, and you're what he saw before the foundation of the world, and now you're sitting down here manifesting what he saw before the foundation of the world. You're the one enduring to the end. You're the one that's alive and remain. All these things got to be fulfilled. Elohim, as far as he's concerned, it's as good as done in his mind. But God's still watching all these things unfold. But there will be a bride at the end time that'll be alive. We know there's a sleep, and one we're united in that sense, but there's going to be a bride alive that's preaching it word upon word. And we're going to get a body change.
Right.
And on one side of the coin, you know, I slow down here because we talk about that purpose of God. Remember, Brother Bram also would describe it as a threefold purpose.
Right.
And in the Christ's mystery, God revealed this quote always stuck out to me really close to the beginning of it. He said, God was so great, infinite, omniscient. He described him, he said, we can't comprehend a God that goes beyond light years and light years and light years and then keeps going and no end. It's beyond our human mind. And he said, God knew he was so great to be understood in that form. And he said, God wanted fellowship. He had a purpose. He didn't want to just stay in this form where he wouldn't be understood. He wanted to become one with humankind. And his first step in doing that was becoming Jesus Christ. It was God becoming one with his creation. He could drink water. He could talk. He could eat. We have, I'm not going to say exactly right, but we have a high priest that knows the feelings of our infirmities. He's experienced it. He became one with the creation. All part of his purpose. And then out of that one, all that was in God, it was poured into Christ. But God didn't start there. He had a purpose. He wanted a many-member bride body. Because as Jesus, it was still just one. And he wanted more than just Jesus. He wanted a many-membered bride body. And he's worked on this thing. And now she's standing on her feet. Now the bride knows who she is. She's united. He brought them with him. We all see this mystery. We recognize who we are. We're Mrs. Jesus Christ. That was the second fold. Now he's got a bride he can fellowship with. And the third fold of that threefold mystery was to go back to a Garden of Eden's condition where he walked in the cool of day. And what did he do? He fellowshiped with them. We're already manifesting most of that because we're fellowshipping with God every day. We talk with God. We go to church with God. We ride with God. God's not dwelling alone anymore. He's one in his creation and able to fellowship every single day. That's what redemption did. It's that purpose of God of manifestation. The only thing is he wants to do it forever. So he's got to change our body still. Because we got to be in a perfect in all three realms. Because we're going to do it forever, people. Going to live in a perfect Garden of Eden condition. Perfect in all three realms. Fellowshipping with God. No longer just Elohim, a self-existent one. It's going to be God all in all when it's all said and done. God in the foolish virgins. God in the souls under the altar. God in the 144,000. God in the bride of Jesus Christ, of course. God in Jesus. God in the pillar of fire that's lighting the city. It'll be God all in all. And that purpose of God, what's come to pass in so many ways, will be to a point where everything's done. We'll be in a new heaven, a new earth. And what God said is good. All that potential will come to a full manifestation. In order to get here, he had to become so many different things, Brother Deskin. He had to become God. He had to become Jesus. He had to become filled with fire. He had to become a Holy Spirit. He had to become bride. He had to become foolish virgin. It's all these things he wanted. And in each one of those things, he played different roles, fulfilled different scriptures, had different limitations. I didn't come like Jesus did. I come here through sex, and that's different than the way Jesus comes. So, yet I'm the same fullness of God as Jesus was. We are as a many member bride, of course. Yeah, but this fold of it, we came a different way than the first fold. I'm only using that just to show you, in each one of these steps, each one of these attributes, we have different roles, different manifestations, different things we do. But it's all God. It's all Elohim. No, not a different God. Just doing all the things he wanted to be. Doing all the attributes he wanted to manifest. Bring to pass that purpose he saw since the foundation of the world. He didn't want robots. He put us on free moral agency, yet was able to come down and help us along the way to still get to his purpose. All the while we were choosing him, but sometimes going to run from him. He sent fish our way and whatever to help us. But here we are, people. That great mind, that Elohim, all he saw, thinking about all these things manifested. He, one time God said, behold, a virgin will conceive. It came to pass. And all of these things he prophesied about. This day, these scriptures are fulfilled. All that God wanted to be, we're here. Right. Yeah, we got a few steps of things we're going to do, but we're here. The bride's here. She's on her feet. The one he wanted to fellowship with is here. That amen's his word that wants him back, that says amen to every word of God. We are here, manifesting our day in this message. The permissive will enabled the perfect will, and here I am in the perfect will, manifesting the Word of God and everything He wanted me to be.
That's right.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Amen.
Started with, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He saw us. He foreknew us. Knew what we would do. Elohim, as far as His real thoughts, it was good as done. That was His eternal thoughts. And in those eternal thoughts, He had a purpose. In order to fulfill that purpose, he had to become different attributes. Those attributes are things he wanted to be. Those attributes enabled other things he wanted to be. But it all worked according to God's great purpose, what Elohim wanted to be. All the while, to get all the way down here because he had a threefold purpose: God and Christ, Christ and a bride, living in a Garden of Eden condition, walking in the cool of the day, fellowshipping with God daily. We're already doing it, but one day we're going to do it all three rims perfect. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a day that will be. I hope I didn't confuse you tonight. I hope it was just so you could see that Elohim had a purpose. He had a goal. In order to even get that goal, he had to become all these attributes. Those are attributes of him that he actually wanted to be. But if he didn't want to be those things, if the first attribute didn't come, the second attribute wouldn't have got here. It took God to create. It took Jesus to die. It took the pillar of fire to lead him. It took the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all truth. All these things God wanted to be. He wanted to be all these things. But all these things were working to his great purpose. Because he wanted fellowship, people. Amen. He didn't want to dwell alone. That's why you can look at Adam and say, it's not good for man to dwell alone. Let me look at my notes here and see if there's anything else I need to say. Before I'm done. We're manifesting what's in God's mind. And what a great story it is. I just want to read this. You know, I didn't bring Christ's mystery quote where he talked about that threefold purpose. I thought, man, we've heard that one a lot. Save some time. But let me read you a couple of others that maybe we haven't went over as much. Brother Branham talking. Who's this Melchizedek? He said, God in Morphe masked in a pillar of fire. God in Morphe in a man called Jesus. God in Morphe in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us. The condescending of God up there, holy, no one could touch him. He set up on a mountain, and even if the animal touched the mountain, it had to die. And then God come down and changed his tent and come down and lived with us, become one of us. And we held him. And 1 Timothy said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in flesh, handled with hands. But Graham says, God ate meat, God drank water, God slept, God cried. He was one of us. Beautiful typed in the Bible. That was God above us, God with us, and now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit. Not the third person, the same person. God come down, now listen, and become flesh and died the death in Christ so he could clean the church in order to get into it for fellowship. God loves fellowship. That's what he made man the first time for, was fellowship. God dwelt alone with cherubims. And notice, he made man and man fell, so he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. He keeps going, God loved this, God loved this. God wanted to become these things, but God wanted fellowship, people. Brother Bram said, God's power to transform. He said, sons and daughters of God at the beginning. Now look, you got eternal life. We believe it, that we got eternal life. Well, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's. That's the only thing that is eternal, is God. And if you got eternal life, that life that's in you always was. And you were in the loins of God before there was even a world. And when the Word itself, Jesus himself, is called the Word, in St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then you were in the loins of Jesus and went to Calvary with him. You die with him and you raise with him. And today we're sitting in heavenly places filled with his Spirit, sons and daughters of God, die with him, raise with him. Now then, you can fellowship with him. You couldn't back there because you was just a word in him. You had to manifest, is what I'm trying to say. Then he came down and was made flesh so that he could perfectly fellowship with you. And he goes on and talks about Jesus, how God becomes Jesus, died a death so he could get into us. All these things were God's purpose. And he had to become these attributes to be able to get there. He had to become Jesus to get into a church because God wanted you and me. Church Age book, he told us that we're the eternal thoughts of God manifested. Yes. Thank God that we understand these things. Amen. Thank God we see these things. Amen. Not, I always like to say, it's not knowledge for knowledge's sake, information for information's sake. These type of things make me rejoice. Yes. When I see the purpose of God and I see myself right in the middle of it, as part of it, always part of God, going back to God. Yes. Sitting here manifesting God. I'm one with God. I'm what he wanted. I'm the one he wanted to fellowship. You're the one he wanted to fellowship with. Yes. Amen. And God did all these things so he could get to that point. And here we are. Who else could have done it? We can't hardly keep our word to the next day. We struggle sometimes to bring to pass what we commit. And here he was with all these thoughts, and look where we are today. We're right where he saw, man. Right there, perfect time. Brother Brim said, God's time, clock's right on time. Don't worry, don't panic. He was right on time to get Egypt out. He's right on time when Jesus comes. He'll be right on time when we actually physically get out of here. He won't be too early, he won't be too late. We're right in that perfect will of God. Thank God he had a permissive will too. We needed that too. But God is great. And we love him. So God bless you. Come on, musicians. Write a song here and we'll sing it. Remember the announcements, and before you know it, November 17th will be here. Just start making your plans and get with Elise and let her know what you're going to bring. One thing, and I didn't read it close enough, Brother James or Elise, we need to put on there that Sunday night we won't have service on November 17th. And so we'll just have that morning service, then we'll fellowship, and we'll have a good time. And then Brother James Pickens has been invited down to Little Bethlehem November 10th. And he'll appreciate it. Hard for me not to say dad's church, but I know he's Brother Allen. But he's going to my dad's church. And it's the same thing as far as I'm concerned. And look for a good time. And, you know, not speaking for James, but there's always, if somebody desires to go, there's room for 3 to 5. If somebody has a desire to go, so just keep that in mind. You don't have to go, but you're a free moral agent. You can choose to go or not go. So I'm having trouble finding a song, so we're going to sing Kate, Will You See Why I'm Happy? Key of C. Can't you see why I'm happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet.